And now the game where accomplished people do something that barely registers as an accomplishment. It's a game called Not My Job. From the Bronx to Second City here in Chicago to HBO to Saturday Night Live to big blockbuster films to us. Things were going so well for a while there. We're very excited to have comedy legend Robert Klein with us. His new special, Unfair and Unbalanced, debuts this weekend on HBO. Robert Klein, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Great to see you. So this is something like, if I'm not mistaken, your 47th HBO special.
Ninth.
Oh, the ninth. Okay.
I did the first one in 1975, and this is the ninth.
So you've done nine HBO specials going back, what, 35 years?
That's correct.
That's great. Have you finally got it right?
I don't think so. I'm geezerized, but I've gotten older, that's for sure.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, because I can't think of another comedian who has had the kind of career you've had. In that you're still playing the same kinds of gigs. They're still making HBO specials for you. You haven't, moved on to something else.
Well, what is there to move on to?
I don't know. You could be doing, the Robert Klein Theater in Branson, for all I know. You could be installed in Vegas, but you're still hip. You're still living in New York. You're still doing HBO specials. Is there a secret to your longevity?
I don't know. I don't question it. The stuff keeps on coming back. I learned that improvisational technique at Second City when I first went there in 65, 66. And I still do it. And instead of with another actor, I kind of use the audience as the other actor. And what comes out of my head, we write down, and I kind of hone into a bit.
Now, you recall, we saw you referred to as the first observational comic. What does that mean?
I have no idea. A lot of the people saw me, Seinfeld and Leno, and they said, I could do that. I don't know. That's kind of a left-handed compliment. I went to college. I could do that. I didn't have cufflinks and the normal imprimatur of the comedian.
And so can you describe your comedy if I had to make you do it at gunpoint?
I suppose it's observational comedy. I guess that's the best way to describe it. I have no idea what it means, of course.
Yeah.
I learned the technique. There's no Yale Drama School for stand-up comedy.
Which is, and you would know, because you went to Yale Drama School.
I did, and I think Second City was infinitely more valuable, and I got $150 a week instead of my father paying that expensive tuition at Yale.
Did you want to be an actor when you were little?
I think I did, but I really wanted to be a doctor. It pleased my parents. A few things got in my way. Calculus, physics, biology, organic chemistry, reading, spelling, comprehension, attendance.
Right.
Behavior and talent.
So other than that, what was it about being a doctor? You just like the white smocks? What?
Well, I'd rather play them. I played Pacino's doctor. I played J-Lo's doctor. I played a lot of doctors.
Well, what is it about you that everybody says, we need a doctor. Get me Robert Klein.
You know what?
What?
That's the way it is. But normally I'm cast as essentially an old Jew.
Well, you've got that nailed. I'm going to ask you this question. Why are so many of the great comedians of your generation and after your generation Jewish?
Well, I don't know. To quote Helen Thomas, what are you going to do but be funny?
I know. We understand your new HBO special has you have a full orchestra?
Yes. We got an orchestra from the University of Miami. Actually, it's called the Henry Mancini Institute, since his estate pays for this excellent music school. So Moon River, it should be Moolah River, because
they
did very well.
Well, tell me about the show. What is it like?
Well, it's a little edgier than they have been. We had to contact a lot of lawyers in this one.
Really?
More than usual.
Well, who are you worried about offending?
They were concerned about various politicians, but when they fact-checked, they found out that... Senator Craig did try to have sex in an airport men's room. I want to get out of as quickly as possible.
Right, I understand.
Yeah. I have never walked into an airport men's room and gone, a fella could settle down here. Plenty of lighting, lots to read, toilet paper, and good churches and schools nearby.
You can meet someone and settle down.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's these guys I get after who infuriate me because they live this hypocritical life. And, other people who weren't so values-oriented, but who are being redeemed currently, like Elliot Spitzer, who is, he's bright, but Gosh, $3,500 for sex in this economy? $3,500, I could have gotten him a ticket to a Yankee game. This should dispel that ugly stereotype forever, that Jews always get a good bargain.
That's true. I don't know what was more of a scandal, that he saw a prostitute or that he paid retail, as far as I was concerned. You've been doing this a long time. You hosted Saturday Night Live during its first season.
In its the fifth show in the series, and boy, were they nervous at NBC. They hadn't done a live show since Howdy Doody in 1953. Also, the next time I hosted in 77, I was the customer in the original cheeseburger sketch.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, I wanted eggs, remember?
I remember it vividly, actually.
That was so funny that we couldn't even get through rehearsal. We were laughing so hard.
Did you think that it would last back then?
No, not 35 years. It's an unbelievable phenomenon because everybody has put it down, and I'm tired of it. And no matter how tired of it they are, they still watch it, and it still lives. And I think it's better that it's on than it's not.
I have a question. Did you think you would last? Because some humor is universal, but some of it is generational.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget, the audience gets older with me.
That's true.
Oh.
So they're generational. So, I mean, I just keep it up, and I don't want to question it.
Right, so you start, you do jokes about losing your virginity, everybody goes, yeah. You end doing jokes about losing your hair and your sight, and everybody goes, yeah.
That's true. I'll tell you a real good one. I first saw this in Washington, D.C., and a lot of towns have it now. When you're crossing a street or a boulevard, there's a countdown clock.
Yes.
That tells you how long you have.
To get out of the crosswalk, yeah.
And it's like a nightmare.
Really?
You know, a dream, like 30, 29, 18, 4, and I'm not halfway across, you know. I have this dream that I keep on walking against the wind like Marcel Marceau.
Well, Robert Klein, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here today to play a game that we're calling...
What was the name of that game? It sounded like an air raid siren.
Well, as we have mentioned, the World Cup starts this weekend, yes. And since you're an American, we assume you don't care.
Right.
But more to the point, that you don't know anything about it, thus a suitable subject for our quiz.
Okay.
We'll ask you three questions about World Cup history. You get two right, you'll win our prize, one of our listeners. Carl's voice in the home answering machine. Carl, who is comic Robert Klein playing for?
Peter, Robert is playing for Mary Margaret Tickle from Nashville, Tennessee.
All right.
Okay, Mary Margaret.
All right, here we go. Ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Here's the first question. Before the World Cup gets everybody excited, the draw for the World Cup gets everybody excited. That's when officials randomly select teams to play each other. In 1982, organizers decided to spend $9 million in a live international broadcast of the draw ceremony, and something went wrong. What? Was it A, upset at having to play powerhouse Brazil in the first round, the representative from Djibouti vomited on live TV? B, in a show of charity, they gave orphans the honor of drawing the names from the barrel, and the orphans screwed it up? Or C, a number of soccer hooligans crashed the event and mooned the cameras?
Well, I hope that a bunch of soccer hooligans mooned the cameras.
Is that your choice, a wishful thinking?
It is.
That's your actual guess?
Yeah.
I'm afraid it was the orphans.
The underprivileged
children were found at a Madrid orphanage, and they messed everything up. They picked countries out of the spinning cage in the wrong order, and a German official, naturally, shouted, "Get it sorted, boys!"
Such a bad name to orphans, really.
I know. You still have two more chances here, Robert. In 1958,
yes.
The French team ran into an unexpected difficulty in their World Cup. What? A, their star forward challenged their striker to a duel. B, they ran out of clean uniforms. Or C, they refused to take the field against the German team until it apologized for World War II.
I think the dirty uniforms.
You're right.
Yeah.
This is what happened. The French had very low expectations, so they didn't bring enough clean uniforms for more than a couple of matches. and they did really well. And so all of a sudden they had to run to the laundry to get
all
ready
that
for the next
cheese. You know.
Yeah, oh yeah. This is exciting. You picked that one up pretty easily. So you get this last one right, you win our prize.
Okay.
Now, this World Cup, the 2010 World Cup, is hardly underway, and already there's controversy. What is the problem this time? A, the North Korean team insists on listing their dear leader, Kim Jong-il, as their goalkeeper. B, some players believe the new ball is demonically possessed. Or C, some of the British players have demanded field passes for both their wives and their mistresses.
There was a lot of controversy about the ball. They didn't like the ball.
So you're going to go with that?
I am.
You're right. That's exactly right. Every year, every World Cup, that is, Adidas introduces a new ball, supposedly some improvement on the old ball.
Yeah.
And the players always hate it, but what's new this year is their actual complaints that the ball is possessed and doesn't want to be kicked. Said one Brazilian player of this new ball, quote, "You're going to kick it and it moves out of the way. I think it's supernatural. It's very bad." Carol, how did Robert Klein do on our quiz?
Robert had two correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Mary Margaret Tickle. Congratulations.
Well done.
Robert. That's good.
There you go. Congratulations on your ninth special. It's terrific to have you with us. Robert Klein.
I had a great time. Thank you all.
Bye, Robert.
Bye, Paula.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye. In just a minute, Carl figures out how he's going to win the Tour de France and our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air.